What I'm going to share today, probably one of the most important operations in the kingdom when it comes to functioning in this realm with God, besides perambulation, which you cannot perambulate without what I'm going to share about today. And so the Lord spoke to me. Okay, turn your Bible to Matthew 6, verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. He's using a parable of your natural body. If you close your eyes, you can't see anything. All the light that you see is coming from the eye gates. But he's actually talking about the spiritual body here and how it works. The light of the body is the eye. Say, if your eye be single, that word single comes from two words, alpha and pleco. And pleco means a basket, like interweaving into a basket in alpha. Well, we know what alpha means. Alpha, the Christ. Christ in the alpha, he is the alpha of alphas. Amen. I mean, first, not last. But if your eye be interwoven into the alpha of Christ, that's what he's saying. The eye of your spirit man. There is a guy named Donald Cohen, I believe his name was. Very interesting man, because he had lost his eye. I think it was in the war or something. And what happened was God allowed him to see without an eyeball. And he'd go around churches and everything. Scientists would come out and they'd tape his whole head off, you know, and I mean, just tape it everywhere. The good eye, he would tape it off. And then he would take his glass eye out and he could read perfectly, 20/20 vision. It just baffled them to know him. And all God really did is engineered a miracle in reverse. He allowed the spiritual man to see into the realm of the natural, with a spiritual eye seeing into the natural. But, I mean, people, scientists just walk away and shake their heads. There's just no possible way this is happening. Right when it's happening to them, a demonstration, his whole, God allowed him to have this his whole life in God before he went home with the Lord. And so we see this operation in Luke 14, 15, 16, when the rich man died and he went into hell. And then you see the beggar that he died and he went into Abraham's bosom, which back then was in a part of the lower parts of the earth, but separated by a chasm from hell. But obviously they could look over because the Lord said, and he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water just to cool his tongue. All he wanted was a drop. Can you imagine? You can see that. Where were their bodies, natural bodies? Well, dead, but where? About 6 foot under a grave, but they obviously had a tongue. They had a finger. They could see all of the members of your body that you have. Your spiritual man possesses too. Did you know if you have a spirit, grab your tongue? The natural tongue that that man had was in a grave somewhere, but he had a spiritual tongue. Spiritual eyeballs, spiritual fingers. So this body fits over the spiritual man that has all those faculties. But you also have spiritual eyes and a spiritual mind. The scientists would call that your subconscious mind. They realized that there was another mind in there. And the subconscious mind was far greater than the spiritual mind. That's actually the one God deals with. If you ever get into revelation zone with God, getting his frequency, when revelation comes, he likes downloading, and he downloads a lot. A lot of times when he's downloading with me, I'll just take a yellow piece of paper and just jot down the highlights, and then I can just go back and study everything, because he's downloading the whole thing, and I don't try to capture everything, because I know he'll bring it back up. If I just capture the bullet points, he'll bring all the rest, but he can download all of it within seconds. When you start getting a download, you need a yellow pad, because it'll go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I mean, he used to download a whole series, 10 of them at a time, and I would say, well, that's a 10 teaching series, and I would get it in 5 minutes, though. I'd get the whole thing in 5 minutes, and I just jot it out, sometimes just 3 or 4 pages of his bullet notes, and then as the teaching would come up, I'd just study that part out and teach. What he was doing is downloading into the spiritual center, into the spiritual mind, into the realm of the heart. The Bible calls this the realm of the heart. Now, before I get in any further with this, I know you've heard this, but this is a real important operation. Go over to Proverbs 23. Verse 7 is, a man thinketh in his what? Heart. He is actually speaking here of the spiritual man and the heart man. This is the part that's most important. This is the one where God operates. Proverbs 4 will say, guard the heart. He's actually talking about, now your emotions will get involved because they get intertwined with this. Everything, see, in the heart realm, the interesting thing is the world has access, God has access. That's that center of the being that the world can pull on, God can pull on, but that is where everything happens. Right in this realm right here. And you have to keep it and guard it with all diligence because anything concerning the kingdom is going to flow out of it. If it gets plugged up, nothing's flowing in, nothing's flowing out. That's why the enemy wants to constantly sow some kind of division or strife, ought, any kind of thing like that, trespass. You have to get skilled in overcoming trespass quick because it's going to happen to you. People are going to disappoint. You're going to get disappointed. The enemy's going to see to it that there is some kind of disappointment, relational issues. You just got to be able to overcome them. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Bible says, be you angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. There's times your emotions are going to release. You just don't stay there. And you don't hold that in a situation. You got to overcome it and release it. Learn to forgive quickly. Amen. Release quickly because if you don't, you're going to get plucked up. If you get plugged up, you can't function. The blessings will stop. Everything just comes to a halt. And you want that goodness on you. You want that good favor on you. You want that glory on you. And you can't allow somebody to control the goodness of God. Because if somebody is occupying your heart in a realm of trespasser division and you allow them to stay there, they're cutting your blessing off and nobody's that important to let the blessing release them. There's plenty of forgiveness. Think about all you got to do when you're upset with somebody is thinking about how many times the Lord has forgiven you. Amen. Just go back to, it doesn't matter when someone disappoints you, just go back and look at how many times have I disappointed the Lord and he forgave me. How many times did I come to the Lord and he's forgiven me? And then that's case closed right there. Amen. Just turn that table. But if you keep that heart with all diligence, this is important. It's something we have to be constantly reminded of in this journey because the enemy's sowing stuff. Amen. That's one level. Well, now we're going to keep the heart realm is where everything's going to flow out. But what I'm talking to you about today, more importantly, is keeping the eye part. The eye. From the eye of the heart, the eye of the spiritual man. Now he says, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye be singularly interwoven into Christ on a consistent basis, this eye of this spirit, though you're born again, and though the eye of your heart has been born again, translated out of darkness into his light, this eye can see. Remember when you're first born again? Oh my God, the light would come on. All you had to do is read a little book by Kenneth Hagin and go, whoa, wow, ooh, but you could see. You could see because he turned the light on. But this eye was not meant to live apart from God. What makes it work is when you put this in the presence of the Lord on a continual basis. That eye has to be interwoven into him. It has to stay into him. And you have to train your eye to stay in him. If you do, your whole spiritual being is going to be full of light, stay full of light, and you'll have a continual stream of revelation, light, and goodness and mercy and favor will result from that. You'll be able to see where you're going. You won't stumble about. You won't live your life in frustration. You won't live your life in annoyance. You won't live your life if you keep that eye full because it'll override the systems of the world because they come. They want to convolute you. They want to convolute you. The atmosphere you walk in. And if you don't keep your eye, that atmosphere is going to get up inside you. And that's where this trouble starts. When you allow the atmospheres of the world system to get up inside you, trouble will begin. You can't overcome that because it's going to keep breeding one trouble after another, after another, after another, because it's gotten inside. Why? Because you have a birthing faculty inside of you. It's called the dominion mechanism. And as a man thinketh, whatever's going on inside is going to start reproducing around you. So you got to keep that atmosphere out. You don't have to do this on your own strength. In fact, you can't do this in your own strength. You don't have enough willpower to keep the atmosphere out from the interior of the heart. What keeps the atmospheres out is when you take the eye of your heart and bind it to the Lord. abide, cleave, like it said in Deuteronomy, abide in me and I will abide in you. As that heart gets interwoven on a daily basis with the Lord, He'll give the kind of light to you to flood you with the strength and the power and the might and the light of heaven. The atmospheres will not be able to get in. You'll have a natural barrier around you to be able to deal with circumstance, issues, people, atmospheres. It's not going to keep them from coming. It's just you have an atmosphere around you where they'll bounce off of you. You'll have strength upon your life. How many of you ever tried to pray and you just had no strength? It's because the eye has been too convoluted. When that eye is full of light, faith will rise up out of that light. Faith will rise, strength will rise because you see where you're going. There's no better way to live than having that eye full. And there's no worse place to live than having it full and then losing it. Some people don't know the difference, but once you have it, you have to maintain it and you have to keep it. So if the eye be singularly interwoven on it, and the Lord said, encourage them again. I'm like, Lord, they know. He says, tell them, watch the eye. Everything revolves around the eye of the heart. He goes, there's so many things I want to move through them that I can't if they don't get their eye in the right place with me. When you get that eye in the right place, He moves the kingdom through that light. Think of it like a tunnel of light from heaven to earth. That eye is that tunnel. That eye is that the plumb line. The plumb line is centered around the eye. Whatever your eye is focused on, if that eye is connected with the Lord, He'll move heaven through because you'll see the light of what He wants to do. You'll see the light of where He wants you to go. You'll see the Father's creative days. In the higher realms, the Father will move His creative will through the eye of your heart. What the Lord's job is to keep that eye full of light. Your job is to abide in Him. And then the Lord, He'll keep you full of light. He'll prepare you to receive from the Father. This is how He operated. Because I could do what I see my Father doing. He wasn't just seeing with the mind's eye or prophetically. He was seeing from the heart, the eye of the heart. Prophetic is not enough in the sense that I can see. I have to be connected. Because if I'm connected in the light, then what happens? I stay full and I'm always knowing where I'm going. I always have my bearings. I always have the frequency and the bearings all in harmony together. And what happens is I'm ready. When a storm comes, you're ready. When the enemy comes, you're ready. When the blessings comes, you're ready. And you can start handling the blessings. It's a whole kind of new thing. When blessings start, they're starting to increase right now. I'm just trying to say, and increasing across the board. And what happens, they create a lot of activity. The blessings will start creating things around you. You got to watch that the activity, the blessings creating doesn't affect the eye. You're in the foundation phase and God's not doing anything. He's just building the foundation. It's a lot easier to keep the eye because nothing's happening. But when God starts breathing and you're out in the world and things are start happening, the blessing starts happening personally, corporately, church, business. It's happening. Father, I release that blessing. I release that favor. I release the frequency of that blessing. Father, grant the eye of the heart to get tuned into the frequency of the blessing. Listen, the blessing is always there. The treasure hidden in the field is always there. It didn't change. It's whether you find it or not. The kingdom's like a treasure. If a man will go sell all he has, he'll find the treasure. It's always there. It doesn't stop. Just because you don't have it doesn't mean it's not available. You just hadn't found it because you're not in the right frequency because the eye of the heart has got you off in the wrong frequency. God's going to put that frequency back together again. You have a responsibility in the kingdom. Oh, I say it like this. You have a responsibility in the kingdom. That responsibility, see what happens is a lot of times that is like the center trunk. So the eye is everything. Think of it as the trunk of the tree. What comes out of it is limbs and fruit. What happens? We're trying to fix that fruit and that limbs, but if you don't get this thing fixed, it is the foundation of all of it. No sense trying to teach you perambulation if we can't get that eye connected to the Lord. He can't connect you to the Father. You're not going to get the Father's creative thoughts. There's no perambulation coming up in there. This eye is all things. When you get it connected, there'll be a consistent flow of favor and revelation and light, and he'll make his face to shine up on you all the time. Now he's like, he goes, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit. That's what he's doing right now. Let's see what you do with a little bit. You're going to run off and serve a little bit, or you're going to keep that eye? Because God is watching whether you can keep that eye. That's what he wants to know. Because what sense would God do give you more if you can't keep what he's given you? If the little bit he's given you now gets you distracted, what's going to happen with the more? Amen? It's all good to talk about, well, transference, but he's not going to give you something that's going to have you running away from him. He wants to give you something that run, it calls you to run, but that is a discipline that we have to have. The discipline is to keep that eye connected to Christ. Amen? So if the eye be singly interwoven like a basket into the Alpha Christ, your whole being, beginning with your spiritual man, will be full of light. And light is light. The Lord said, I walk by the light of the day. You'll see much better. You'll see a lot clearer. It's awesome to be above the storm and not in the middle of it. Because if you're in the middle of the storm, you don't know when you're ever going to come out because you don't know where you're going. But if you're above it, you can see. And it's so much greater to live above, oh, Jah that rides on the heavens. I want to ride with oh, Jah because I like seeing. You get accustomed to seeing. You get accustomed to a shield. I love it when I get up and pray like we did this morning because I know I've got a shield around me now. That no matter what happens in this day, I know I am shielded properly. I have it inside as a witness, and it feels really good to know, oh, my God, I'm going to have a good day. That is the foundation of everything. When I know that foundation's intact, I know the day is going to roll out, but when it's not, how many of you know the other feelings? Like when you know you're not connected and you know you're supposed to be connected and something's gnawing on you all day long and you're not there. You don't have the right shield and you're aggravated and you're frustrated and people are frustrated and you're getting annoyed all the time and you are an annoyance to others as well because your eye has been displaced and all of a sudden it's all that. All times, I got to get back in there. I got to get back in. But if you don't get back in there, it makes it worse, worse, and worse. When that happens, you'll feel it. There's no, why walk around all day like that? Because when I come out and I know I got it, I got it. When I know I got it, something good's going to start happening for me all day long. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me. The glory's going in front of me, and I know. And there's nothing worth losing that over. I'm not going to lose that over new paint for my house or new floors, and I'm not losing it over anything else God's going to do. What's the use? If thine eye be evil, your whole body will be full of that darkened. Therefore, if the light that is in thee be of that kind of darkness, how great it is. Sounds pretty bad. But actually, the word evil, if you've heard us say many times, means poneris. Say poneris is the word for evil. The word evil is poneris. You want to know a few of the definitions of poneris? Toil. Harassment. Full of labors. Annoyances. How many of you ever been annoyed? Hardships. Frustration. All the stuff that they came out of Egypt with. Complaining, murmuring, weariness, toil, heaviness, all of that. Amalek, spirit of Amalek will get on the poneris eye like you know what. So I mean, you have to deal with that because that system, think about it like this, your eye is a magnet. Your eye, depending on what's working inside, will attract the kingdom. Or, if the other, it's going to attract the systems of this world like a magnet. If the systems of this world get attracted to what's going on inside of you, that's why a depressed person will most likely stay depressed. Because they're attracting depression. Rejection will attract rejection. People don't realize if you got a root of rejection inside of you, every single relationship will set you up for rejection because spirits get attracted to the design of what's on your life. until you break that design and get some acceptance going and some sonship going, it won't change. It'll be one cycle of rejection after another after another. That's why when someone has a successful atmosphere around them, guess what it's going to breed? Success. Because it's on them. It's like an atmosphere you wear. You wear the atmosphere and it'll breed it. But if you have a very depressed, full of doubt, unbelief, woe is me, you won't prosper in that kind of atmosphere very long because it's going to breed the other. So that atmosphere is coming. It's an attraction. It's all part of the systems of the world. It gets attracted to what's going on in the eye. See, if you let the eye lose its light, that eye will lose its protection. Because when the Lord comes in, He'll protect the eye. He'll surround it like a shield. He'll surround it like an atmosphere. And He'll keep it full of light. And He'll protect what's going on there. He'll be the protector of the heart. And He'll protect the eye of the heart. Because that's what you see by. That's how you navigate the kingdom of God. You can't navigate if you can't see. But when He's there, but if you let down the barrier, Star Trek, your shield is 6%, Captain Kirk. When that shield gets down, the Romulans are coming. Is it Romulan? The Romulans are coming. The spirit of Romulan is surrounding your vessel. You better keep the shield up, Scotty. Because that's what's going on in the eye. If you don't, that spirit, the world systems are going to start attracting. And the first thing they want to do is remove your defense mechanisms. And the second thing they want to do is weaken the eye. And then they're going to start flooding it with harassment and flooding it with toil and flooding with labor and flooding with frustration. That's the darkness He's speaking of. And if your eye be filled with that kind of darkness, great will be that darkness, because it's going to start breeding all that inside. And it'll breed it out. To where you start wearing it. You'll wake up wearing it. You'll go to bed wearing it. And people then will start medicating that kind of atmosphere. They're going to medicate because what's going on inside of them is turned to misery. It's misery. That's what Amalek is. Toil, labor. That's why when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, He knew they grew up under the Phoneris eye. They didn't know any difference. He goes, listen, I'm going to bring you in the promised land. I need you to see what I'm telling you. It's yours. I need you to believe what's yours. I need you to see it, believe it, have it in your mouth, have it in your heart. Because that's God's way. He doesn't change His ways. He didn't change it since Moses' day. He's probably not going to change it in our generation, even though you are very special to Him. But you ain't that special. Then He's going to change His system just for you. Oh, let's give Him the kingdom. Yeah, that one that's just depressed down there. Let's just give Him everything. But He has given it to you. But you have to connect the way God said connect. And that connection starts with the eye of the heart. You are not going to connect your faith to anything if this eye is not properly maintained. Because it's going to be full of the other and it's going to drown out. The cares of this life will drown out the eye. And so what happens is the Phoneris eye, when he gets the children of Israel right up, he takes them over to Jordan. He said, take them to the hill of the foreskins. Circumcise again the spirit of Egypt. Why? Because the Egyptian system was toil, hardship, and bondage. He goes, you cannot inherit here with that. You have to have that cut away. We can deal with the Phoneris eye in the Jordan. The Jordan is where you present that Phoneris eye for circumcision. But where you get filled is up into the right hand of God. You've got to get your spirit up into where Christ is so He can present you to the Father, where the Father can fill you with all good things. And the more you keep this eye, the better life is going to be for you. And the more productive you're going to be for the kingdom. And that's what He's saying. If the eye be singularly interwoven, you will stay full of light, and I'll see that you're with me where I am. Now, because your eye is singularly interwoven, because you're a father's house, son and daughter. Amen. But if your eye is full, then what the Lord's going to do is see that you're properly positioned in all the arenas of the Father. You're going to be positioned in the Father's will, the Father's plan, the Father's creative thoughts. You're going to be positioned in favor. You're going to be positioned for goodness. You're going to be positioned for success. I tell you, we started praying, and Anna, the Lord moved Anna in this business, and I mean, just in 7 months, just whoosh. I'm like, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, that's God. Because, I mean, she's at the top of the leaderboards and everything, and you know what her secret is? Her secret is the right hand of God. We're up in the right hand of God. We're holding these things because we unload us. And as you unload, God will reload you. And if you do this, no matter what business you're in, you can't allow the business that you're in to override the eye of your heart. If it's causing a frustration and a weariness and a toil, you're allowing that stuff to get inside of you. God can't deliver you from that because you'll just get right back in the middle of it. He's got to deliver the eye of your heart. We got to cast the eye out. Jesus needs to come up in there and cast the stuff out. Detangle the vines. Detangle, weed it. Sometime I'll present my eye and I'm like, do something, Lord. I'll take him down the Jordan. I said, lay the axe. Let's start with a two-edged sword. Then let's go to the winnowing fork. Then to the skilled knife of circumcision. If none of that works, lay the axe to it. Come on. Cut. Sever. Because I know what it feels like to get interwoven. I know what it feels like to get convoluted. Tangled. I don't like it. I don't like the feeling of that. I don't like walking around tangled up. I like the freedom. There is a possible way you walk in the blessing of God and the goodness of God and a modification of God, but you're not tangled up. It's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, but adds no sorrow. It's not just the riches. When the kingdom is increasing, it's the blessing of the kingdom that doesn't put the sorrow on you. You don't wear all the stuff. You've got to keep the atmosphere of this world off of you. And don't let them get, and if they're up in you, it's all right. You got a solution. Start going to Jordan every day. By faith, presenting it to bury it. Start presenting those cords, chains, and ties. Lord, I'm done with this. Circumcise again. Everyone say, circumcise again. Circumcise again. Cut it away. Tear it down. Lay the axe. Some of you don't need the axe. Some of you just need a little bit of fine-tuning circumcision. A little skill knife. Some of you need a winnowing fork. Two-edged sword, just cut the whole thing, separate. Some of you got so much stuff going on, not of you, but the people down the street, they got so much stuff going up on the inside of him, he's got to get a two-edged sword, and he's got to divide asunder spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, and then he's got to divide again. I'll present, I'll say, move, Lord, separate that wineskin, separate that chaff. See, I see the separation. I see the old wineskin separate. I see the Lord separated darkness from light in the beginning. I'm quite sure he can separate your stuff. He knows how to separate. He's very skilled at it. But he can't do it if you don't bring it to him. You have an advocate, a high priest that knows what he's doing. He knows how to get this stuff off of you. He is your friend. He's your helper. He wants to get you positioned for goodness. He don't want you walking in carrying a boatload of stuff all the time. He's there, but you've got to give yourself to him. Nobody's going to do that for you. But when you do, he will keep you full of light. How many have been full of light? How many know how good that feels? When you're walking around full of light, it feels good, don't it? How many have been the other one? When you're walking around, oh my God. How many have been around people like that? Chuck, don't answer that question. How many of you have been around people like that? You're not fun. I'm not fun. Believe me. All right. I know the old man. A lot of you know him too. He's not fun to be with. When he's in the Jordan, he's a good place. I have to work overtime to keep him buried. I don't like the capacity for frustration. I don't like what it does. Won't allow that in because that old man will get overbearing and overpowering and things. I don't like that. I don't like what it does with the relationships. I don't like the atmosphere because I like the new things and the way we respond. Like I'm talking on the phone. I'm real nice. Anna goes, man, you're so nice. I mean, normal. That'd be normal for everybody else. But when someone's being real difficult with me on the other side and I'm being nice, that is like parting the Red Sea for me. Praise God. So here's the key. It's very simple, but you have to learn the discipline of it. What do I do? The first thing you do is present. Get into the doorway Present your eye to the Lord. Acknowledge what's working inside of him. Don't hide it from him. You're not going to get anything done by hiding. Present it. Acknowledge what, because emotions get up in there. You're going to have to acknowledge the fallen emotion that's with the fallen system and operations. Acknowledge. The second thing to do is take it down into the Jordan. You've got to get the image of getting down, walking down into that Jordan, past the ankles, past the knees. You got to get into the deep with him. And he's going to be down there in the Jordan, and you got to see that he has already buried that thing. He has already brought it into its finality, and then you start presenting it for circumcision. The two-edged sword for separation. The winnowing fork. Just don't present it. See the chaff being separated. I see the day the axe being laid at the root, cutting asunder, detangling. See him coming as a dresser of the vineyard, and he's cleaning up your vine. He's getting the thorns off. He'll do that for you if you'll present yourself. And then, even if you get this far, you're going to be well off. Go back to the throne of grace and then enter into him. Get clothed in his righteousness. Get clothed in his light. Get clothed in his glory. Get clothed in his strength. In him, in you, I live and I move and I have my being. Found in you now, not having my own, I step out of mine and I see an exceeding great shield coming around me like a white tower. And every time I see a white shield of glory that's surrounding me, I see a robe coming out from him. Just like the prodigal, a brand new one. Y'all feel it? You feel it? You feel that white robe, and I put that white plush robe on. I step into that thing, and then I'll step into that heavenly court, and I'll receive the clean turban on my head, and I'll receive the crown of righteousness, and I'll say, I am forever perfected, and no condemning sentence can stand against me. So you get clothed like that, your eye is ready to go now. You got light, you've got it up into the Lord. Amen. He'll start illuminating the scripture when you're in that position. Those words will come alive. The Bible will come alive. You won't miss being due your 5-minute shimmy shoe and be out the door. You'll come alive in there. And as you come alive, you're clothed. And when you come out, man, there'll be joy. And you'll go, dang, that was a good session. Amen. Then you're ready to run to the world because you're clothed and you're ready to take on the spirit of mammon. Because he talks about mammon in that verse. Thine eye be poneris, whole body will be full of that darkness. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He is talking also about the arena of mammon. You'll hate the one or love the other, else hold the one or despise it. You cannot serve God and mammon with your eye. You're not going to put your eye up in the mammon and think that you're going to stay full of God. And if you're somebody that has to go deal in the arenas of mammon every day, you've got to get your eye positioned properly. So when you get in there, you got a shield around you. If you got a shield around you, mammon is not going to come in. Because mammon will give you what the world would consider a blessing, but it's going to be a whole lot of sorrow that's coming with it. The world, the devil offered the Lord the world. He has power to bless people. You should hear about some of these stars. I read a documentary on that lady, Gaga lady. She was playing in bars in New York or something. And she went in the back alley one night and met a guy that she couldn't really see his face. He had a concave face, the spirit of principality. And he came in and he presented himself to her. And he says, you're next in line. And she gave herself to that. She says it. And from there, went to the very top. Darkness. The devil offered the Lord that. Kingdoms of this world. And the glory of them. See, mammon will give things. But it's going to weight attached that you can't bear. You don't want that kind of blessing. You want what's coming from the kingdoms of God. The light realm, the glory realm of God. Because you get that kind of blessing, it won't wear on you. God can keep giving it to you. And you'll keep staying in the glory. I'll be honest with you, Joel Osteen is a good example of that. I mean, God gave him an international ministry. You can't have something and then largest church in America. You can't have something like that and walk up and smile like he does if you're not staying next to the Lord. You can't do that. It'll bury you. It tells you he has a relationship underneath there because he's undergirding all that and he's staying the same every year. If you don't learn to do that, God can't multiply you. We could talk about it all day long, but he won't be able to do it because it'll just cause more trouble for you. The eye is the most important thing. Let's all stand today.